Blog Talk Radio.
I got on this hoodie right now because everybody else in the house was
saying that they were hot, so they turned the AC on, but I'm still got a little lingering cold or whatever. So it was colder to me. I had to put something on without, you know, making them all suffer. Anyway, I want to welcome everybody in Pal Talk and Blog Talk on the Internet in general, wherever you may be in North America or South America, the African continent, the European theater, the communist bloc countries. We greet you in the only name whereby men must be saved, the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. This is the Tuesday night Bible study, and we are starting worship and prayer and fasting. Fasting will be the last part of this, but we're going to talk extensively about worship and prayer. Because, you know, the Most High has a prescribed way of how he wants to be worshipped. And he doesn't really give us, he doesn't give us the liberty to worship him like we want to worship him. And a lot of people don't know that. They think that, you know, they have the liberty to just worship the Most High however they want to worship him, and that it will be acceptable to him. But it's not. And so we're going to get into this study. So I pray you have pencil and paper. Have your Bible ready. I'll probably ask you to read on this evening. As I found that, you know, the scriptures actually stick better when we read them ourselves rather than when we have somebody else to read them to us.
Brother Miles, could I be omitted over reading because I have a sore throat?
Yes, ma'am. I can omit you from the reading.
Thank you.
Because I know Sister Denise loves to read.
I do.
I know.
So do it for me, Nick.
Okay. So for those that wish to read in the scriptures, then we'll let you volunteer. For those that are calling into the Blog Talk radio station, I'm going to be abandoning this platform coming up real soon. And so we will be moving to Hebrew Connect and to the Meetings by Glory to Yah platform. We'll have the 480 number available. But yeah, I'm going to abandon the Blog Talk one because I'm just not satisfied with a lot of my recording of lessons that I've done. I think that they have been censoring. And so, you know, if you can mess with the quality of the recording, then or the quality of the, you know, the audio being transmitted, if you let down all those standards, and I'm paying them too much money for it not to be, you know, a high-quality audio. And their tech support has just not been what I have been, I'll just say it's been found wanting as far as I'm concerned. So there is, you know, I've been on the Hebrew Connect platform for a while. I've been saying I was going to be moving to that, you know, because it's all our people. The only reason why I really haven't is, you know, part of the ministry is to reach out to our people who are not in truth as well. And so when everybody is, quote unquote, supposedly in truth already, then I'm not trying to really fish on that network. And so I may have to look at Facebook, which, you know, I don't really want to, I never have liked Facebook. But the main part of the ministry that will be on Hebrew Connect will be more so in the lines of, are you he that troubles Israel? Because a lot of the things that our people are doing, we need to be troubled about it. We need to be, you know, it needs to be brought up, it needs to be dealt with. And, you know, so that's going to be the line mostly of, you know, the line of the messages that will mainly go out on that platform. You know, I love that we love each other and that we love that we know who we are. But once you know who you are, then what? Stay always proving that we are the people of the book. All the lessons can't be about you know, what the Gentiles are doing or doing to us. It has to be about, at some point, we got to look at ourselves and straighten up our walk. And so it will be what that ministry on that channel will be about. You know, we'll do the teachings and stuff there. But when I do messages that I put on that particular platform, they won't be fishing type of messages, because 99% of the people who are on that platform already know who they are. And, you know, as far as salvation goes, yeah, we'll still continue that. But, you know, it'll be more so of how do we walk? How are we commanded to walk by the Most High? Especially for Israel. Because, you know, to me, it makes no sense whatsoever to know that you're Israel and still get it wrong. That makes absolutely no sense to me. So, on this tonight, we are going to start off with worship and prayer. And that is the topic, you know, and probably will be for, let's see how many pages I have on this. We got about 8 pages of notes on worship and prayer. Depends upon how long we stay in them, and then we'll be talking about fasting. And I think for the ministry, we're going to start doing at least a one-day fast a month, and then move into a one-day fast every week. So we'll have a one day in the week that we're fasting, which will bring it up to like 4 or 5 days a month fasting. And we'll build up to the 3-day fast this year. Something that the Most High has put on my heart that we ought to be doing. All right, with that being said, we have you ladies to cover your heads, and the men listening, uncover your heads, and let us do our statement of faith. I have been spending all today, because I've really been trying not to get out of the bed unless it was absolutely necessary. Trying not to put any strain on my hip, on my right hip at least, where I had the inflamed nerve. It's feeling a lot better, but I still don't want to spend a whole lot of time sitting in the chair. But I had stuff that I had to do today, so I've been in this chair quite a bit. All right, so our statement of faith. I believe that all scripture is given by the inspiration of Elohim and is profitable for doctrine and for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, according to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. I believe all holy men must be inspired and directed by the Spirit of Yah, according to 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 through 21. I believe there is one Elohim, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. I believe that Yeshua is the manifest Son of Yah, according to Luke chapter 1, verse 35. I believe I'm a new covenant child of Yah, according to Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 10. I believe I'm of the royal priesthood, according to 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 9. I believe I am chosen and directed by Yah, according to Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4. I believe I'm a child of Yah, of the seed of Abraham, according to Galatians chapter 3, verse 26 through 29. I can do all things through Mashiach, which strengthens me, according to Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13. You know, the whole matter. It is my whole duty to fear Yah and keep his commandments, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us give our Elohim a hand clap of praise on today. Hallelujah, Father. We just give you glory, honor, and praise on today, Father. We lift you up and we magnify your name, O God, Elohim. For you are worthy of all glory, honor, and praise. Another will we not bow down to and give our adoration to, Father, but to you and to you only. Hallelujah, God, Elohim. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Glory to your name. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you. Holy hands raised to the Most High Elohim. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, now and forever. Amen and amen. In our scripture for tonight's lesson is Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. The book of Matthew chapter 23 and verse 12. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humble himself shall be exalted. May the Most High blessing to the reading, the hearing, the understanding, and the doing of his word, in Yeshua HaMashiach's precious name. Amen and amen. All right. Worship and prayer. Worship, which includes prayer, because prayer should be part of your worship. Like you give the Most High, you know, adoration, you pray to him, and your prayer is not to move the Most High to your position. Our prayers should be to move us to the Most High's position. Because one of the main prayers we pray, our Father, what, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Whose will be done, yours or his? His will be done. So we want to be moved into his will. What is your will for me in this situation? What is your will for me? Okay? So prayer is designed to move us, not his, to out. Now, we can ask for him to intervene, but we really want to know, what is your will in this? And then your will be done. So it's giving honor to Yah. Giving honor to him is defined as worship. Giving honor to our Creator. Giving honor to our Redeemer. It is the way that our spirit communes with him, his spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit. It is man speaking to Yah, and Yah speaking to man. And so we want this, you know, as part of our prayer life. We want it as part of our life where Yah comes to us, you know, at midnight hour, when he reveals things to us, when he gives us dreams that have messages for us or for other people. It is a time of spiritual eating and drinking. Prayer is ultimately man's recognition of Yah's superiority. Why pray to him if he's not superior to you? Why pray to him if he can't intervene in your circumstance? Okay. Through prayer, man humbly approaches Yah, who says, whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled. So if we are proud, puffed up, then we are humbled by that, okay? We become humbled in that, okay? He will humble us. He will cause things to bring us down to earth. He will cause things to take that spirit of pride out of us, okay? So whosoever exalts himself shall be humbled. And whosoever humbles himself shall be exalted. The Most High will lift you up when you humble yourself before him. So let's go to Proverbs chapter 29. The book of Proverbs chapter 29. And let me set my screen up the right way so I can see everything I need to see. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse 23. And the word of Yah reads, Proverbs 29 and verse 23. A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, we know that this spirit of pride is one that the Most High really hates. He really hates a spirit of pride. Go to Isaiah 57. So when you come to the Most High in prayer, you definitely don't come to him in this spirit, the spirit of pride. Book of Isaiah, chapter 57, and let's get verse 15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. Contrite and humble spirit. Not puffed up. You know, you are meek. When we are meek and we are humble, we are trainable. When we are full of pride, anybody, you know, nobody can tell us anything because we are puffed up. To revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones, this is who the Most High is looking for. He's looking for those that are humble and contrite in spirit. Humble before him. Go to Isaiah 66:2. Book of Isaiah chapter 66 and verse 2. Now, in this one, well, we'll start in verse 1. We'll get verses 1 and 2. Thus saith Yah, the heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house that you build for me? And where is the place of my rest? Now, I've done lessons on this. We know that we are his place of his rest. That his rest is more than just one thing. It's the land of Israel, when he occupies it. But today, right now is a temple, a place of rest for him, okay? Can't be that if we are full of pride, if we're not able to hear his voice, if we are walking contrary to him. For all those things has my hand made, and all those things have been, saith Yah. But to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembles at my word. This trembling at his word means that you have a healthy, abundant fear for him, not a healthy respect of him. Because you can respect somebody and not tremble at their word, not tremble at their presence. This is another level. So when you are approaching him, then you want to be humble. You want to be lowly in spirit. You don't want to be puffed up. And you definitely want to be of the mindset that you fear him and you tremble at his word. Anything else won't work. Anything else won't get it. Okay? It is said that prayer, praise, scripture, and exhortation are the four cardinal elements of worship. And will be covered in more detail later in the milk lesson, plan for financial supporting the kingdom. Okay? So we got to understand that Yah wants us to be of a contrite heart. He wants us to approach him in the spirit of humility. This is what he's looking for. So how must we worship Yah? We know we can't be prideful. Let's go to John chapter 4. The book of John chapter 4. And if you will get that,
okay. John chapter 4.
Yes, ma'am.
And what chapter?
Chapter 4.
John chapter 4, verse 4?
No, verse 23 and 24.
Okay. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. Elohim is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth.
So the hour comes, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. We have to worship him in spirit and in truth. Okay. Because he, number one, Elohim is a spirit. Himself. He himself is a spirit. And he is the spirit of truth. You don't want you worshiping him from your mind. From your carnal thoughts, from the natural realm, because he's a natural man, cannot receive those things of the spirit, because it's not natural to the natural man. Spiritual things are not natural to the natural man. Let me see if I can find that verse. Hold on just a second. Give me a hot second. I think it's Romans chapter 8. One place you get it. Romans chapter 8. Go to Romans chapter 8, and we'll come back to this. Romans chapter 8, and let's get verses from verse 5 through 7. Romans chapter 8, verses 5 through 7.
For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace.
Amen. For to be carnally minded is death. Carnally minded means that we think in the natural sense, the way that the world operates, okay? And so to be carnally minded is death, because the natural person is concerned with, you know, what I eat, what I drink, you know, how I look. This natural survival. Spiritually minded, we're looking for the things of Elohim. Okay? And so to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because it takes you out of, you understand that Elohim, truly believe and understand that Elohim's going to provide. He's going to see to. Did you read verse 7? Okay, I'll read verse 7. Because the carnal mind is enmity, is hatred against Elohim. The natural man that, you know, is mainly concerned about what's going on with this flesh. Elohim, for it is not subject to the laws of Elohim. And neither indeed can be. So, the carnal man, me the man, that's going, you know, that is concerned about what I'm going to eat, what I'm going to wear, who I'm going to be with. Concerned with the things of operating in this environment, in this world, that man is not subject to the laws of Elohim. Why? Because if that's all we're concerned about, we will not keep the laws of Elohim. Our carnal desires will always override that. Always. And so until we die to self and become spiritual, where the things of Elohim matter more than the things of this world, then we can't even subject ourselves to the laws of Elohim, because we will not keep them. He says we can't be subject to his laws as long as we subject ourselves to the law of flesh, to the law of the natural man. And I need to look up one more verse. I might come back to that one. If I need to get this. Maybe I should have said it. Go to 1 Corinthians. The book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 2. And let's get verse 14. And when you have it, if you'll say amen. All right, thank you. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. I know a lot of people, they hate for me to use this verse, especially when I'm dealing with certain topics, because there are certain things that you just cannot understand from the sense of the natural world. And so the natural man, the person that thinks with you know, with their minds on spiritual things and think of those things as in a natural light, you know, because how you discern and the lens that you process information through, you can process it through your natural brain and apply the laws of nature to the situation, and you'll come up with an understanding, but you won't come up with the correct one, because if it's a spiritual matter, it's not operating by the laws of nature. It's operating off of spiritual law. And you have to be able to discern and be able to interpret through that filter. So you have to sort of throw away the laws of nature and the way, you know, you understand physics and, you know, those types of things. Saying that when we are dealing with worshiping Yah in spirit, then we have to move our natural self out of the way. Which means in a lot of areas, we have to walk by faith. We don't quite see it, but we believe it by faith. So the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit of Elohim, for they are foolishness unto him. So some things can be taught and said, and be like, that just don't make no sense to me. Or it don't got to be like that. Yes, if you have spiritual sense, if you are interpreting the scriptures by the Spirit of the Most High, then the spiritual things will make sense. But if we are interpreting them, our worship and our prayer and what have you, then if we're doing it from the natural man, then we won't even ask for certain things. Because in our mind, they are not possible anyway. We won't ask. All right. So we see where the Most High says the carnal man is not subject to his laws, and neither indeed can be. And the carnal or the natural man cannot receive the things of the spirit of Elohim, or their foolishness to them. Neither can he know them. Right, so when we are praying in spirit and in truth, we cannot do that from the natural man. And truthfully speaking, we really need to be filled with the Ruach, the Spirit of the Most High, to effectively pray. We can pray, but then to pray for the right thing, to pray to be in the will of the Most High, to pray to know and understand the things that what His will is for our life, then we have to be in His spirit, and it has to come from Him, and we have to be, you know, asking Him to move us within His will. What does He want? How does He want it? Because a lot of times we will pray, and we'll pray for things that we want, but not necessarily to be in His will within it. And so prayer is designed to move us to His position and not move Him to ours. Okay. All right, so let's continue in this. So how do we worship Yah? In spirit That means not from our natural mind. And in truth. Okay, that means in truth means that we got to have the truth. We got to be open to the truth. And then we got to receive it and walk in it. That's why it's so important that when we come to the Most High, that we understand who He is and how He operates, and that we don't commit idolatry by making up an Elohim in our mind. Because there are a lot of people who create Elohim in their minds. When He tells us in the scriptures who He is, what He will accept, what He won't accept, what He expects and what He don't expect. So in this area of worship, He expects us to do it in spirit and in truth. So it's very important what you believe. It's very important what you know. And so our, you know, part of our prayer should always be that the Most High lead us into what? Truth. And that we accept it, even when it is contrary to us. There are some things that, you know, I had to just do an about face on in my walk with the Most High. Because I was taught one way, and then I had some preconceived notions myself of some other things. And I had to do an about face. I'm sorry, Most High, I just didn't know. I thought, like He said to me, like, who told you to think? Okay, so let's go. How can worship of Yah be corrupted? How can your worship of Him be corrupted? Let's go to Romans chapter 1, and let's get verse 25. The book of Romans chapter 1. In verse 25. And when you have it, if you'll say amen.
Amen.
All right, thank you, my sister. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. When we are carnal-minded. It's on now. I can hear you now, Sister Denise.
Oh, okay.
When we are carnal-minded, then this is what we will do with the truth of Elohim. Romans chapter 1, verse 25, who changed the truth of Elohim into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the creator. The creature is us. The creature is us and those things of this world. The natural world. So we will change the word of Elohim to fit into that narrative. Forever and ever. Amen. We will change His word into a lie and corrupt it. We'll change our worship. And by changing His truth into a lie, because we have to worship Him in spirit and in truth, when we change the truth into a lie, it corrupts our worship because we can no longer worship Him in truth. We'll believe that it's okay to mix pagan things with the worship of the Most High. We'll think it's okay to mix science with the word of Yah and worship Him that way. will change the truth, his truth, into a lie. And then believe that we are worshiping him in spirit and in truth, but we have corrupted the truth. And we will usually do that 99.9% of the time if we are worshiping him from our natural mind. Things just won't make sense. But we'll make them make sense naturally. But remember, spiritual things cannot be discerned by the natural man. So let's look at what does corrupt worship, what does it cause? Because see, we believe that, you know, as long as we're throwing up words to the Most High, those words have to be acceptable to him because it came out of our mouth. And we probably were doing them from a genuine heart. But if they are based upon a lie, if they have been corrupted, because we are not worshiping him in truth, then we got a problem. So let's start in verse 26, Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 32. The book of Romans chapter 1, verse 26 through 32. For this cause Elohim gave them up unto vile affection. Start thinking that anything and everything is okay. It's okay for man to desire another man. It's okay for a woman to desire another woman and still claim that we love the Most High. It's okay. We'll think it's okay to steal because, you know, I really wanted that or I needed that and I didn't get caught. Or it's okay to overeat. It's okay to you know, overdo these things that we know that we're not supposed to be. It's not necessarily a sin to do them, but when we overdo them, it becomes sin. And we'll justify it. So Elohim, for this cause, when we worship Elohim from the natural man standpoint, Elohim will give us over to vile affection. For even their women did change the natural use into which was against nature. And this is talking about in a sexual way. And likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one man toward another man. Men with men working that which is unseemly. And, you know, this ain't natural. And receiving in themselves that recompense or that reward of their error which was met. And even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge. See, once we go down this road, and we start accepting things, it doesn't matter whether it's homosexuality or whether it's overeating or whether it is an overactive sex life or whether it is, stealing, whether it's celebrating things we ought not celebrate. Whatever it is that's of this world, whatever it is that is not of the spiritual truth of Elohim, we will indulge in it. And once we go down that road, we will justify it. The more we do it, the more we will justify it. And so even as they did not like to retain Elohim in their knowledge, Elohim gave them over to a reprobate.
Worthless.
A worthless mind. thoughts ain't worth nothing. But they don't know that. The reprobate mind doesn't know that it's reprobate. To do those things which are not convenient. Verse 29. Being filled with all unrighteousness. Unrighteousness is unlawfulness. Fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness.
Yes.
Full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity. Whispers, backbiters, haters of Elohim. Despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things. Disobedient to parents. Without understanding. You can't tell them they don't understand. They have their own understanding, and it is worthless. But they won't understand that. In their heart and in their mind, they are justified. Without understanding, covenant breaker, without natural affection, implacable. You look up this word implacable. I know I've looked it up before, but the definition is taking me right now. And it means to be not to be appeased. In other words, can't be pleased. Unmerciful. Who knowing the judgments of Elohim, because you know, they know what the word of Yah says. They know in their heart what they're doing is not right. But the longer that they do it, the more they justify it, the more desensitized to Elohim they become. But they still know, even if they're in denial, who knowing the judgments of Elohim, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only to do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. You know, they have that saying, birds of the same feather will flock together. Or birds of the same flock will run the same block.
I heard that.
When I was a young man and, you know, chasing skirts and doing all these kind of things, it would not be an uncommon thing to say, oh, yeah, I got with her, and brag about it to your buddy. And we did this and we did that. And then they be telling about their conquest. And we all taking what? Pleasure in it? Each other? Doing these things that we're not supposed to do? That is that reprobate mind. And unless Yah pulls you out of it, unless you truly surrender to him, then you'll keep that mind. You won't be renewed, won't be regenerated. You won't wanna do things in accordance with the word of the Most High, in spirit and in truth. To do this under these circumstances, and Yah will just have to forgive me. Or we'll say, it's okay. Yah knows I'm human. Yah said, yeah, I know you're human. That don't mean I'm going to accept it. Okay. So when we change the truth into a lie, we corrupt our worship, and we can't really worship him in spirit and in truth. And when we do that, the more we do it, it causes us to worship everything but the true Elohim. We make other things our Elohim. We even become our own Elohim. We'll self-worship and what we think is right. So when we are worshiping Him, to worship Him in spirit and in truth, we must first have the truth, and then we must also, what, walk in it. Okay? Or else we will be worshiping, we'll end up worshiping somebody or something other than the true Elohim. How did Mashiach worship each Sabbath day? How did he worship each Sabbath day? Go to Luke chapter 4. The book of Luke chapter 4 and get verse 16. If you will read that, Sister Denise.
Okay. And he came to
Nazareth,
where he had been brought up, and as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read.
So his custom was to come into the synagogue and read on the Sabbath day. Read from this part of his worship. Okay? And so, as part of our worship, we should be reading from the scriptures on the Sabbath day. We shouldn't more so be concerned about what's going on in the world. Because the Sabbath day is set apart to honor who?
Elohim.
Elohim. Not set up, wasn't set apart for us to be discussing world events. Wasn't really set up for us to be dealing with, worldly matters. Most likely you got 6 other days of the week to do that. Honor me in the Sabbath day. Speaking my words. When Messiah was reading the scriptures, was he reading the words of the Most High?
Yes, he was.
And that's what we're supposed to do. That's what he commands us to do. Not speaking our own words. But he is. What does Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, tell us about worship? Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 25.
Not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but to exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching.
So we are not to forsake assembling ourselves, assembling for the sake of honoring the Most High and worshiping Him. Learning about Him and learning about His laws, His statutes, His commandments. Hold on a minute. All right, just a minute, Demi. Let me go get... Can you hear me? Yeah, I can hear you. All right, just a minute. Let me go get Rochelle. All right, guys, give me a hot second. I need to get my son his phone call. I'll be right back.
Okay.
All right. I apologize. Okay, let's move on. So Messiah went into the temple each Sabbath. He said, forsake not the assembling of ourselves together, reading his word and honoring him. So look at some guidelines for worship. Guidelines for worship. Let's go to Ephesians chapter 5. The book of Ephesians, chapter 5. And let's get verses 18 through 21.
And read.
Yeah, you can go ahead and read. Yeah.
Okay. And be not drunken with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making
melody,
molding
melody
with your heart to Yah, giving thanks all things to Elohim and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ or HaMashiach.
Verse 21.
Submitting yourself one to another in the spirit of Elohim.
Okay, let's break these down. Verse 18, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. When we are drunk, we have drunk. When we are drunk, then we have drank to what? Excess?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, it's not a sin to drink, but it is a sin to be drunk. But be filled with the Spirit. If you really want a natural high, then get high off the Spirit of the Most High. Ain't no feeling like the Most High's feeling.
Mm-hmm.
Ain't no feeling like that. Wine, hard liquor, drugs cannot make you feel like the Most High makes you feel. It's nothing like knowing that you know that you know that you know that you've been filled by the Ruach HaKodesh, and that cleaning out and that high that he gives you, and every time that he visits that he gives you, there's no high like that. You don't hug the toilet after. You don't have a hangover after. No guilt feeling. So he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but you can take that and put any drug to that. Anything that alters your mental state. But be filled with the Spirit, high on Yah, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs as part of our worship. Singing and making a melody in your heart to Yah. So worship has to come from the what?
Heart.
Can't come from your mental faculties. Your heart has to be right with Yah for you to worship him from your heart. That's the part of you that not talking about your blood pumping heart. But it's a part of your mind that will let you come out of the natural world into the spiritual. Being able to believe those things that you really cannot see. But you know Yah said it. So you believe it. Truth be known, none of us has ever seen Elohim. So we only got one way to believe in him. That's by what?
Faith.
By faith. One day we'll see him. Other than that, we really believing out of faith. Now, you know, when Elohim answers prayer, that's something to increase our faith. But if somebody actually came up and said, hey, you ever seen Elohim? No. Why do you believe in somebody you can't see? Can't touch. That's why Elohim says he hates for us to be hateful one to another. So you can't see me. How are you going to tell me you love me when you hate your brother whom you can see? You can see him or her right in front of you. You can physically, mentally, emotionally affect them. Can't do any of those things to me. You can't see me. You can't mentally or emotionally or physically touch me. Yet you tell me you love me. But your brother who is right there in front of you, you can show all the hate in the world. So, giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim. When you go down in worship and prayer, you're supposed to be thanking Elohim for what? Everything.
Everything.
The good and the bad, because you don't ever know, even with the bad, that it might be, you might perceive it as being bad, but it's all things work, what, to the good of them that what?
Love me.
Amen. You might be going through some hard times, but as long as you got your eyes and your heart and your mind focused on Elohim, it'll work out to you good. Giving thanks always for all things unto Elohim and the Father in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach or Jesus the Christ. Submitting yourselves one to another. Part of our worship is how we treat one another. Part of our worship is how we submit ourselves one to another. If I'm looking out for your good and for your welfare, and you're looking out for my welfare and my good, then we're not going to be looking to what, hurt one another?
Yeah.
We're not going to be looking to take advantage of one another. We're not going to be looking to get over on one another. Submitting ourselves one to another. In fear of who?
Elohim.
In fear of him. Because if we do something we're not supposed to do, if you offend me, I'm not supposed to come against you. I'm supposed to, what, forgive you. And if you are doing something so heinous, forgive you and not deal with you anymore. But who's supposed to repay you for that?
Elohim.
That's right. So whereas we might think we get away with something, then he makes sure that he recompenses. He repays. That's why we submit ourselves one to another as part of our worship. Because worship is being obedient to him. In fear of Elohim. Let me look up a verse. I think I'm going to cover this right now. Give me a hot second. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 10.
Who?
10.
Yeah.
And I'll read this in this time, okay, my sister?
Okay.
Leviticus chapter 10, starting in verse 1. I want us to get this. Why it's important that you look up names, that you look up places, you know, when you're trying to come to spiritual understanding, that you look up names and places. And Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron. Write this down. Nadab means liberal. And Abihu means worship, or worship of Elohim. Worship of the Father. Nadab and Abihu, and liberal worship. Liberal and worship of the Father, or and liberal worship. The sons of Aaron took either of them his censer. When you do something liberally, you can do that two ways. You can do it in an abundance, meaning that you are worshiping a lot, or you can take it upon yourself to do something that was not ordered, that you were not ordered to do. Okay? And liberal worship, the son of Aaron, took either of them his censer and put fire therein and put incense thereon and offered strange fire before Yah, which he commanded them not. So their lighting of the incense was a part of worship. And they had a set time to light the incense. But both of them took the liberty of lighting the incense at the wrong time. In other words, they chose to worship Yah liberally. Not the way that he said to do it, but the way they want to do it. So they lit this end out of order. And Yah said, that is strange. Now look what he did to them. And there went out fire, verse 2, there went out fire from Yah and devoured them, and they died before Yah. Because they wanted to worship Yah in a way that Yah had not said to worship him. Not in a way that he said not to worship him. They wanted to worship Yah. Not in the correct order. They were supposed to burn incense. It's not at that time. And Moses told them to do what? Do everything. Did the Most High tell Moses to build the tabernacle exactly after the pattern of the one in heaven?
Yes.
Exactly. And all of the ceremony, all of the orders of worship had to be done in a certain order. And when these two sons took it upon themselves to worship the Most High from their minds, not obeying the Most High, did it in the order they wanted to, they got burnt up. So what did the Most High do? He burnt up liberal worship. You're not going to worship me any kind of way. You're not going to worship me, and it's not acceptable for you to worship me other than the way that I tell you to worship me. And so we are just lucky that he is not killing people immediately today. Or else a whole bunch of us wouldn't be here. We'd have got burnt up too. Most High never, ever has given us a choice in how we worship him. He's never put it and said, oh, do your own thing. So he wants us to worship him in spirit and in truth. Assemble yourselves on my Sabbath day. Honor me in it. Follow the example of Messiah. Read from the Holy Scriptures, found in the Holy Scriptures. But make it about him. Honor him. Be not drunk. But be high for him. Be full of him. Go to Colossians chapter 3. Just want to make sure we saw before this gets away from us tonight that you cannot worship the Most High how you want to worship him. You must worship him in spirit and in truth. That means you got to find out how he wants to be worshipped. Come at him any other kind of way like that and then expect that he's just going to accept it. He says, no, I'll burn that up and I'll burn you up with it. And if you'll read those.
I thought you said Colossians.
Yeah, I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 6.
Then 16.
Yes, sir. 16 and 17.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you, richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another psalms and hymns, spiritually sung, singing with grace to Yah. And whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving thanks to God and the Father by him.
Okay. So let the word of Messiah, the word of Christ, the power and the wisdom of Elohim unto salvation, dwell in you richly. You got to understand your salvation. And you got to understand it well. In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your heart to Yah. And whatsoever you do in deed, do in word or deed, do in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, or Jesus the Christ, giving thanks to Elohim and the Father by him. So, you cannot properly give thanks for salvation if you don't understand salvation in truth. If you don't understand that the Most High is not all forgiving. The Most High is not all merciful. You know, when we come to him, we can't come to him on a whim. We got to understand the consequences of our salvation. We got to understand how it works. So that we don't take it for granted. Part of our worship is when you're thanking him for salvation, you should really know what that means. And you should know that you're walking in a way as to not to lose yours. But see, a lot of people don't believe that they can lose their salvation. But you can. As part of our worship, we're supposed to understand that. And we're supposed to be appreciative of it so that when we thank Yah for what he did, for what he did via Messiah, that we are thanking him in spirit and in truth. If we think that we can blatantly go out there and just sin and then just say, Father, forgive me, and that he will forgive us, then we are not worshiping him in spirit and in truth. But he don't work that way. Got to understand that. He don't work that way. And so we have to understand that when we come to him, because you know what? I'm going to extend grace to you. I'm going to forgive all manner of sin and blasphemy. Except for one, blasphemy. He won't forgive that. He says, you know what? you doing some things you don't even know you're sinning. Sin is ignorant sin. And I'm going to teach you, I'm going to send somebody to teach you what sin is. So those things that you are doing ignorantly, you can stop. Oh, yeah, I didn't know that was sin. I repent of it. I turn away from it. I'm not going to do it anymore because I know that it is sin. And he is true and just to forgive you. As he was in Torah. Because you did it ignorantly. He said, now there's some things you're doing that you know are sin. I'm going to allow you to bring that to me one time. One time. That's great. Because under Torah, I would have not allowed you to do this. So here's the grace period. One time, you get to confess all your sins to me. That you know. That you know that you're doing wrong. And you're supposed to repent of it and turn away from it. And I will forgive you. Because see that, what the church and what we have not been taught is that willful sin is blasphemy. When we willfully disobey the Most High, it is blasphemy. That's why he says all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. So everything that you know you're doing that was wrong, you confess it when you come to Messiah. You turn away from it, and you don't go back into it because you know that that was wrong. And you don't say, I'm struggling with it. First, you never truly repented. And you didn't turn away from it. So in truth and in worshiping him, then we have to understand that what we know to be wrong and that we do, he tells us there's no blood for that. Once we know it, and we come to Messiah and we do it again, there's no blood for that. In spirit and in truth. Then we have to truly throw ourselves on his mercy. And not ever do it again once we understand. Because I don't play that. I never have played that. I never operated that way. And he says, and I'm not going to be mocked. You ain't going to make a fool out of me either. So in spirit and in truth, we have to understand that we come to the Most High, we got to come with a pure heart. Yeah, I was a fornicator. I was an adulterer. I was a drunkard. I was a wino. I was a drug addict. I was a prostitute. I was a thief. I was a glutton. I was these things. Or I am these things. And I know that these things are against you. And I need to be forgiven for them. You confessed it. You knew they were wrong. He was true and just to forgive you your willful sin. You can't go back into it. Because now I've made provision. for those things that you're doing ignorantly. And as you learn about them, you repent of them, you turn away from them, and I will forgive you for them. I've always done that. They've taken the truth of the word. They've taken the truth of Elohim and turned it into a lie. You say, oh, you can just, God knows you're human. You can do this and he will just forgive you. And all you got to do is say you're sorry after you know the truth. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Part of your worship. Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 26.
For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remain no more sacrifice for sin.
Well, let's stop there. For if we sin willfully, knowingly, after that we have received the knowledge of the truth. The truth. Because we got to worship him in spirit and in truth. So after you have received the truth, and you go back and you sin again, something that you know, there is no sacrifice for that. Can't put it up under the blood of Messiah. And we ought to become very afraid. When Yah showed me this, trust me, I became very afraid. And you need to take your prayer life into a whole nother gear. Because then you got some reconciling to do. And either you are going to be sincere with the Most High, or you are going to continue to walk in a lie. Ain't no two ways about it. You are either going to become very afraid of the Most High and your status with him, or your prayer life is going to go into a whole nother gear. Because you know you're in trouble. Like I knew I was in trouble. And still may very well be. But I know one thing. I will not willfully sin after he showed me this. So I'm talking to myself like I'm talking to everybody else. Because I was taught a lot. And he says as part of our worship of him, we got to know how he operates. So willful sin is blasphemy. That's the definition of blasphemy. Knowing something is against the Most High and doing it anyway. In Torah, he would not forgive that. He said, your iniquity shall remain upon you. Your sin shall remain upon you. In Torah, I don't forgive that. Up under Messiah, he says, Messiah, he is saying to us, when you first come to me, you can't confess anything that you don't know. So whatever you confessed when you came to him, you knew it was wrong. And if he should say, I'm a sinner. Yeah, I'm a sinner. What are your sins? Because if you don't enumerate them, then you just put everything up under the blood, and now you cannot commit any of them, because even if they were ignorant or knowingly, you prayed a generic prayer. So you enumerate your sins. I did this, I did that, I did this. These are the things that make me a sinner. Confess them so that you can be accountable. Turn away from them. And don't willfully do them. Verse 27. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27.
But a certain fearful looking for of judgment, fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversary.
See, when we come to Yah, and we have been taught what sin is, and we confess our sin, He is true and just to forgive us that one time of our willful sin. And if we do it willfully after that, He says, but what you got, there is no blood for that. Let me read these together. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. Can't make an atonement for that. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversary. Because when we do that, we make ourselves His adversary, His enemy. I'm a child of the Most High. No, you're not. When we do that, we go from being one of His children, if we ever did ever make that transition. But if we did make that transition, now we are adversaries. We are the enemy. And He says, and as the enemy, what we got to look forward to is His fiery indignation. We got to look forward to the lake of fire. That's what we have to look to. Verse 28. That's going to take us back into the law. That's why we got to know truth. Verse 28.
He that despises Moses' law died without Moses under two or three witnesses.
So he that despised Moses' law died without mercy. If you committed a willful sin under the law of Moses, the Most High said you could not be forgiven. But one person couldn't accuse you of it. Had to be two or three witnesses that brought it against you. Then you were supposed to die without mercy. It could not be forgiven. Willful up under the law of Moses. The only time that you could ever bring a sacrifice for sin under the law of Moses was if it was for ignorant sin. Not willful, but ignorant. So you didn't know you were doing something wrong. You learned that it was wrong. You confessed it. I was doing this, and I didn't know that it was sin. You confessed it, and then the priest was able to make an atonement for you. But if you willfully sinned, if you knew it was wrong, then the Most High says your iniquity shall remain upon you. You can't even go to the priest and get atonement. He didn't change this up under Messiah. He said, under grace, I'm going to allow you to bring your willful sins to me one time. That which you know you're doing, confess. and I am true and just to forgive you. Now don't go back into it. Don't say you're fighting with it, you're struggling. Because if you do it again, and you know it's wrong, I'm not forgiving you because you're just being disobedient. And making an excuse. He said, so, up under Messiah, first time you come to me, you confess your willful sin, I am true and just to forgive you. That's your blasphemy. Forgive your blasphemy. Because you knew it was wrong, and you intentionally were disobedient. That's blasphemy. If people try to make blasphemy, you know, some deep, great big crime, as the scripture don't say it is. Blasphemy is simply knowingly, willfully disobeying the Most High. That's blasphemy. He said, I'll forgive that one time if I'm the Messiah. Now, your ignorant sin, the day you learn it, learn that it's sin, confess it, and I am true and just to forgive you for it. And you can put that up under the blood. Under Messiah. But he says, but since you are under Messiah, the penalty for it is worse than death. It's worse than death. Under the law of Moses, you die without mercy. Verse 29.
How much more punishment suppose you should he be worthy whose has turned underfoot the son of Elohim and has counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sacrificed an unholy thing and has done despite unto the spirit of grace.
So, how much worse punishment suppose you, do you think, shall he be thought worthy? How much worse punishment do you think you deserve who has trodden underfoot the son of Elohim? In other words, Messiah came and gave his life on the cross. Sins may be forgiven. And then you turn around and accept him as your redeemer and your savior. You accept his act of sacrifice. And then you turn around and you sin willfully. After you come into the knowledge of the truth, Messiah died for my sins. All of them were wiped away. And now I'm going to go throw myself back into sin. Willfully. He says, how much worse punishment do you think you deserve? Because you have disrespected what Messiah did. You have walked on it as though it was nothing. This is true. Walked on it as though it was nothing. And you counted the blood that he shed, the blood of the covenant that you came up under by his blood, the new covenant, you counted it an unholy thing. Unclean. See, this is a serious matter. And you have treated the grace of Elohim with disrespect. Respected him saying, you know what, I'm going to forgive you the times you willfully disobeyed me. This is what truth is. Because when we worship him, we want to worship him with a clean conscience. When we pray to him, we want to pray to him with a clean conscience. We want to be able to boldly come to the throne of grace. That's why I said, if we find ourselves in this position, then our prayer life needs a whole different gear. Because we know we're in trouble. Miles speaking. Hello? Yes. Okay. We know that we are in trouble. And we know that our prayers in him has to change. Because we can't even acknowledge when we have not been worshiping him in spirit and in truth, how can we rightfully worship him having not even tried to set the relationship straight? When Yah first showed me this, I was in New York. And I became very afraid for my own salvation. Because I had been taught a lie. I had allowed men to change the truth of Elohim into a lie. And I thank Yah, he did not allow me to stay in that reprobate mind. Do I know whether I'm going to make it into the kingdom and walk before the Most High in peace? I won't know until the day that I go before that great white throne judge. I thought a lie, and I believed the lie, and I walked in the lie. But I won't let you do it. There's no way that I can know the truth and not tell you. But see, I could say, you know what, I'm not going to teach that. I'm going to go with the crowd. But it's the Spirit of the Most High that showed me. It's the Spirit of the Most High that caused me to come to a whole different level of repentance. And so, we can't worship him walking in a lie. That is not the truth. we must know the truth. I can't save anybody listening to the sound of my voice. Who has to save you?
Elohim.
You got to save yourself. Mm-hmm. And he says, save who?
Yourself.
Yourself. I can only tell you, I don't have a heaven or a hell to place anybody into. I can only tell you the truth. That you might be able to come before the Most High, and at least you can have the testimony from this day forward, Most High, I will not walk in opposition to you. And if you choose to throw me into the lake, you are Elohim. And I will worship you from there.
Amen.
True. But you got to come clean. You got to become, you got to let go of the pride. You got to become a contrite heart. Do you think my spirit is puffed up and lifted up knowing that I may very well be at peril with the Most High? Do you not think that I'm poor in spirit? Unpuffed up? I can't place myself above nobody. The only thing I can do is what the scriptures say do. And then pray that he is what? Merciful?
Amen.
Because I truly came to him in spirit and in truth. Worship him in spirit and in truth. Yeah, I am as an unclean rag.
Mr. Rag, at that.
At that. Wash it. Make me clean. Only he can do it. But after he washes me and makes me clean, I don't jump off the shelf and go jump back in the mud. So he don't want us to come to him under the influence of anything but his spirit. You don't want us smoking crack. You don't want us being influenced by alcohol. You don't want us being influenced by marijuana. You don't want us being influenced by anything that will alter our minds other than his spirit. That's why he says, be high off his spirit. You got to first be honest with yourself. And there are going to be many, 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 many pastors and leaders of camps that are going to be responsible for the blood of many saints. For teaching them a lie. and allowing them to think that they could just come to the Most High and just say, I'm sorry.
Huh.
Yeah, I knew it was wrong, but you said you would forgive me. No, that's not what I said. I specifically told you in Torah, you sin against me ignorantly, I will forgive you. You can make atonement. If you willfully sin against me in Torah, I didn't forgive you. That's what Messiah came for. Messiah came so that I would forgive your blasphemy. And I didn't forgive blasphemy in Torah. I would forgive your willful sin. Now that you know what that is, you come to the knowledge of the truth. Because if you do it again, there is no sacrifice for that. How are you going to worship the Most High if you know that you are not in a right relationship with Him? How are you going to pray to Him if you know you're not in a right relationship with Him? How are you going to approach Him knowing that you're not in a right relationship? It's critical that we understand this truth. So that we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. That we come out of that reprobate mind. We'll pick this up on next Tuesday. And we'll start looking at more of the guidelines of how to worship and pray to the Most High. How to come out of that natural man. How to receive the Spirit of the Most High. But the only way that you can do this is by His Spirit. That's why He says, not by might, not by power, but how?
By His Spirit.
By His Spirit. That's the only way. Let's bow our heads. So what time is it? 7:59, yeah. Father Yah, we come before you, Father, in the spirit of humility. Father, there is none that is worthy to approach you, no, not one. All have sinned and come short of your glory. But you have made a way, Father, that if we will just believe and obey, you said you would make us whiter than snow. Father, many of us have come to you in the past, genuinely seeking to serve you, Father, to walk after your ways. And we were taught lies. You were not taught the truth. And we've taught your word, Father, from the carnal mind, from the natural man. And that mind is always going to interpret things, Father, to benefit itself. To allow itself to walk contrary to you and still say that it loves you. To walk contrary to you and say that it knows you. If they truly knew you, Father, then they would know that you don't walk that way. Father, if there be any among us tonight that have walked this way in their lives and now understand the truth. Father, if they will genuinely repent before you, Father, I'm going to ask in the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus the Christ, that you would forgive them their blasphemies and their iniquities, that you would forgive them for willfully and knowingly walking on and spitting on what Messiah did. Father, for I truly believe that if they truly knew, Father, that they would not have done it if they understood. So Father, I pray that you would forgive them. You are the one that searches the heart. You are the one that knows. You said, Father, that it is your will that none should be lost. Father, to repent with a truly repentant heart in the spirit of truth. Father, have mercy. Allow them to come to you. Clear their conscience. May they know and do and not make themselves your adversaries by willfully sinning from this point forward. Father, all things are possible with you. Let the fear that I fear for you be put in them, Father. They would not knowingly and willfully transgress from this point forward. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, I pray. Amen and amen. All right. So we will continue in this on next Tuesday. Let us give our Elohim a high and cup of praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to your name, Elohim. Glory, Father. Glory, 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 glory. Glory, glory. Glory to you, Elohim. Glory, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. We will not have a business meeting this Thursday evening. Haven't done anything business-wise, so no need to actually meet. We'll meet on the following Thursday.
Okay.
That being said, may the Most High bless you. May he keep you safe from all hurt and harm, seen and unseen. And until we meet again, remember I love you. I really do. I cannot love you like the Most High loves you. I don't have a heaven or a hell to place you into. It's just up to each and every one of us to learn to fear Yah and keep his commandments. Fam, and see you on Friday night, Saturday.
Amen.
Thank you for the lessons, and hello, sisters. How y'all doing?
Hello.
Doing
great. How you doing?
I'm hanging in there.
Hanging in there, sister.
Amen. All right.
Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. You created the world and the universe, and everything that lives and breathes, you made it happen with just words. You have no beginning, and you have no ending. I think it's amazing, it's beyond my understanding. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. Sometimes all I wanna do is jump, lift my hand up high and stomp. Clean me with the water, baptized, get dumped. I'm filled with the rock and now I'm drunk. Oh, one time for Shabbat. I'm working every day, can't wait for my rest. Holy days coming and I'm impatient. Hanging with the Mishpachah, good vibrations. So what can I do if I don't have you? It's all about you, 'cause without you there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. Always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect, and his kingdom will reign forever. So what can I do if I don't? Without you, there's no me. I need a hand, 'cause I'm just a man. You always said, teach me the way, I pray that I never fall away. Yahuwah, you live forever. Sing his praise, which dwelleth in Zion. Our Elohim is worthy, our perfect, and his kingdom will reign.
Peace and blessings.
And you too, brother.